Goldman Sachs' analysis of July's market performance is the most important financial story of the week, and the headline number hides the real story. July's major indexes, the S&P, broadly, posted calm, relatively positive numbers. But Goldman's data shows a brutal unwinding happening specifically in crowded AI trades underneath those indexes. The pattern is familiar from other periods of asset rotation. When everyone has the same position in the same stocks, the exit becomes chaotic even if the overall market doesn't reflect it.
The S&P futures are up about 0.6% as of this morning, sitting around 7,519, which looks healthy on the surface. But if the AI trade unwinding is as significant as Goldman suggests, the question is what's being bought as those positions close. If capital is rotating into value stocks or non-AI tech, that's one story. If it's rotating out of equities entirely, that's a different signal.
Intel's 170% gain year-to-date is the kind of reversal that requires explanation, because 18 months ago, people were writing Intel's obituary. What happened is a combination of things. The CHIPS Act funding started flowing into Intel's foundry operations. AMD and NVIDIA's supply constraints opened doors for Intel in markets it had been losing, and the AI infrastructure build-out created demand for chips that Intel can produce even if it's not the dominant AI chip vendor. A 170% gain on a company of Intel's size, market cap well above $100 billion, represents real capital re-rating, not just speculation.
The Stripe CEO's claim that new business creation has nearly doubled is worth examining carefully, because Stripe sees a uniquely complete picture of this. They process payments for a huge fraction of online businesses globally. If their data shows formation rates nearly doubling, that's more reliable than government survey data, which lags by months. The question is, what kinds of businesses are forming? If AI tools are enabling solo founders to build things that previously required teams, that would explain both the business formation surge and the payroll data showing AI is cutting pay for tasks rather than eliminating jobs wholesale.
That payroll finding is nuanced and worth unpacking. The data shows that wages for specific tasks, certain types of writing, coding support, data analysis, are declining, while overall employment in those fields hasn't dropped dramatically. What's happening is that individuals are doing more per hour, which means companies need fewer hours of labor for the same output, which suppresses wages for those task categories, even if the headcount stays stable. That's a different mechanism than mass layoffs, and it's harder to see in aggregate employment statistics.
The HOA foreclosure spike deserves attention as a housing market signal. Homeowner associations have the legal authority to foreclose for unpaid dues in most states, and the acceleration in enforcement suggests two things. HOAs themselves are under financial pressure, they need the revenue, and a meaningful number of homeowners are falling behind on dues payments, which is typically a leading indicator of broader financial stress at the household level.
The Amazon greenwashing lawsuit is interesting from a regulatory standpoint. A class action filed in Seattle federal court alleges that Amazon used unverifiable sustainability claims on seafood products, tuna, salmon, that couldn't actually be substantiated. The legal theory relies on consumer protection and false advertising frameworks, not environmental law specifically. If the case proceeds, it would create real liability exposure for any retailer that uses sustainability claims as a marketing tool without the verification chain to back them up.
The Tesla cases this week pull in different directions. The three-row Model Y L is getting its first reviews, and the early read seems to be that it's a competitive family hauler that extends Tesla's addressable market into a segment they hadn't fully captured. Meanwhile, the lawsuit from a woman seeking $10 million over a crash in Insane mode during a test drive raises the product liability question of how you adequately warn a first-time occupant about a vehicle that does 0 to 60 in under 3 seconds. And then the Lucid story, demanding $50,000 to unlock software features on a car that sold at salvage auction for $4,100. Illustrates the fragility of the software-locked vehicle ownership model. When you buy a salvage car, you're buying hardware. But if the software that makes that hardware function requires a manufacturer's authorization that costs $50,000, Do you actually own the car?